Take your Bibles, turn to the little book of Jude, the Epistle of Jude. Just before the book of the Revelation. And I want to give you a warning up front here. This is going to be a politically incorrect sermon. There's a lot of things that doesn't jive up with what the world believes. We live in a world that does not believe that there's only one way of salvation. The Bible's clear. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through him. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Those are Bible truths. And we need to stand for the truth of God's Word. And the things that we're going to be dealing with tonight are increasingly becoming the norm in our society for folks to take a different approach than what the Word of God says. Jude here is illustrating the fact that God judges sin and apostasy. We've already seen how that God judged sin in His chosen people Israel. God judged sin and the angels that kept not their first estate. And now we see in Jude's third illustration of God's judgment, that of Sodom and Gomorrah and the area that surrounded them, that God judges sin. Again, Scripture shows that some of the most depraved perversions of ancient times could be found in this area. Scripture also shows that God destroyed the cesspool of sin with fire and brimstone. Those are the facts. And listen, I'm not going to tell you any more or any less than what the Scripture says, no matter how unpopular it might be in our society. God's judgment of this area that was wiped off the map should serve as a dreadful example of what happens to those who turn from God to follow their own lustful natures. Look at verse number 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Amen. It's very clear here. By the way, this perversion is happening on a widespread basis in our world today. It's becoming increasingly widespread with each and every passing day. And it is an affront to a holy God. It's an abomination unto God. People don't want God telling them what is right and what is wrong when it comes to sexuality and their practice of it. They don't want to be told that what they're practicing is unacceptable to a holy God. And when we share the truth of what God says and it doesn't jive up with what is now being accepted as normal behavior, we are the ones that are castigated and are called bigots. Nevertheless, the fate of the wicked unbelievers in those two cities, as recorded in Genesis chapter 19, foreshadows the fate of those who deny God's truth and ignore His warnings. The punishment by fire and brimstone on the perverse inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding area is indicative of the eternal fire of hell. We're talking about the lake of fire, which will be experienced by unbelievers at the great white throne judgment that is detailed there in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15. Listen to what Revelation 21 verse number 8 says. But the fearful and unbelieving. Who are the unbelieving? Those that don't believe God. Those that say, well, I don't believe God said that. And the abominable. You know, who are the abominable? Those that are practicing abomination in the sight of God. He said, well, the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So tonight we will look at what the Scripture says about Sodom and her sins that were judged by the Lord. This is not opinion what we see here tonight is truth. It's God's truth. It's what thus saith the Lord. My opinion is no good. Your opinion is no good. What we have to be concerned about is what does God say about it? And what the Lord says about it is the important thing. First of all, what does the Bible say that Sodom's sins were? We'll take in turn to a passage of Scripture as to the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter number 16, we see the Lord has given us a description of Sodom's sins. Ezekiel 16, look at verse number 48. Ezekiel 16, verse number 48. It says here, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride," here's the listing here, "pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." So let's take a look at this in detail tonight. First of all, we see the sin of pride. The sin of pride. God hates pride in every form. I've never found anywhere in Scripture, and you can come show me if you want to, if you find it somewhere, I've never seen anything good that God has said about pride. Proverbs 16, verse number 8 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 16 and verse number 5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Pride's an abomination. "Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Ironic, isn't it, that pride is a word that is used by these folks that are engaged in this behavior, this abominable behavior before God. They talk about their pride. And God hates pride. We see not only the sin of pride, we see the sin of gluttony, fullness of bread. Now, listen, this sin was supported by the great plenty that their country afforded. This plenty, which was given to them by God, was abused to luxury and excess. It was because of God's great mercy that they had plenty. It was their great sin in that they had abused it and glutted themselves with it. They ate to excess and drank to excess. And that which was given them for a provision for their lives became a provision for their lust instead. Wealth and plenty are great temptations to sensuality. So often, this is the effect of earthly blessings. They might lead a person to God and should bring forth gratitude and praise by those who enjoy the blessings. However, they are often abused and bring ruin to the abusers. Fullness of bread is apt to make people drowsy, both physically and spiritually. Instead of worshiping the blesser, these blessings often receive the worship that God alone deserves. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 says, "The prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Matthew 4, verse number 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So what were Sodom's sins? Well, first of all, the sin of pride. Secondly, the sin of gluttony. Thirdly, the sin of idleness. The sin of idols, as we read here in Ezekiel, talked about abundance of idleness. Where there's fullness of bread, there's commonly abundance of idleness. To be idle in order to take a rest from our labors, there is no sin involved. However, an abundance of idleness can lead to no good. Abundance of idleness can lead to wrong thinking. God made man to be involved in work even before sin entered in the world. Listen to Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. God made man to be involved in work, not to be idle. Abundance of idleness, secondly, leads to time being wasted, not redeemed. We're told in two places by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And in Colossians 4:5, he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So we are to be redeeming the time. But if you have abundance of idleness, it leads to time being wasted, not redeemed. Abundance of idleness can lead, thirdly, to destructive behavior rather than constructive behavior. I think a lot of the problem that we see with juvenile delinquency today is that young people are idle. When I was raised up, my mom and dad made sure that we weren't idle. We had plenty to do. We had chores to do. We had work around the house and there in the garden. And all my dad made sure we were busy. There was no abundance of idleness there at our house, because an abundance of idleness can lead to destructive behavior rather than constructive behavior. Pride, gluttony, idleness. What about the sin of neglect? We see there in verse 49, says, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Listen, opportunities for service were neglected because of their gluttony and their abundance of idleness. And that's not mean that we're to be the source of a welfare program at all. It's not talking about giving a hand out. It's talking about giving a hand up, giving them a hand up. And I think that we need to be involved in that way. We see that not only the sin of pride and gluttony and idleness and the sin of neglect, but the sin of immorality. Now, this is what we normally think of when we think of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's because of what we see in Genesis chapter number 19. He says here in Ezekiel, he said that they committed abomination before me. Look at Genesis chapter number 19 and verse 4 and 5. Genesis 19, verse number 4. I think we had these men that came to Lot's house, these two angels that came, and they were in the form of man. And he pressed upon them to come into his house. And verse number 4 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called out unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, we know that they had no good intentions there. Genesis 13, verse number 13 says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18, verse number 20 says that their sin is very grievous. That's how God put it. Their sin is very grievous. Genesis 19, verse 13 said, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. Leviticus 18, 22 tells us, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It's abomination. Leviticus 20, 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And we're going to look in the New Testament a little bit later on a couple of times. Romans 1, verses 24 through 32. I'm not going to turn there right now. We're going to look at it when we close. But it talks about what this leads to in a person's life and how you can spiral your life out of control downward in that downward spiral of sin, such that you are involved in things that are an abomination before God. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. Says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And listen to what's on that list of six things. Three of these things. Listen, a proud look is one of them. We've already talked about pride. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We've seen that these folks in Sodom, they wanted these men to come forth that they might know them in a biblical way. And that's not a good way. They wanted to have sexual relations with them. And it says, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And of course, that is, we see that sin there also. They were quick to do that which God hated. Now, there's some underlying principles to remember. First of all, just because a practice may be accepted by society or even by the church, that doesn't make it right. We know in the day and time in which we live in, there are things that are being accepted by society, and they have now, even in many so-called churches and church denominations, they have put their stamp of approval on it that God would have nothing to do with and has nothing to do with. And this is not a new thing that has happened. It was happening in Paul's day when folks were allowing things to go on that they should not have been allowing to go on in the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, Paul rebuked the Corinthians. And verse number 1 through 5, he said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication that is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. And the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen, yeah, they were involved in allowing some practice to happen in the church that God was not pleased with. And by the way, understand that when Jesus sets up his rule on the earth, it's not going to be a democracy. No, it's not going to be a rule by the people. It's going to be a theocracy. Jesus is going to be the one who's going to call the shots. And we see that not only just because a practice may be accepted by society or even by a church doesn't make it right, but secondly, I want you to see the influence of immorality is always corrupting. It's always corrupting. There in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, he says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And he said, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." Fornication is any sexual perversion, relationship outside of what God deems acceptable, and that is sex within the marriage context of a man and a woman. Understand the influence of immorality is always corrupting. Second Peter chapter number 2 talks about how it was corrupting in Lot's family who was living there in Sodom. And 2 Peter 2 and verse number 7 and 8 says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." And when he means talking about conversation, not just talking about their talk, it's talking about their behavior. He was vexed with their filthy behavior. And he says, "For that righteous man," there verse 8, "for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." we see that it was a very, very corrupting influence on Lot's family, and it showed itself to be that as he was taken out of Sodom, as it was as God rained fire and brimstone there. He had his two daughters there with him, and of course they were corrupted by that influence, and they wound up getting their father drunk and having sexual relations with him, which is fornication and immorality, and they had both had children by their father Lot, and we see that corrupting influence. Another thing that we need to remember is unchecked immorality is a result of holding the truth in unrighteousness, and it carries its own consequences, a downward spiral of wickedness. Again, we're going to look at Romans 1 here a little bit later, but it talks about how the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they've got the truth of God's Word. God's Word is calling it wrong, and yet they continue to do that unrighteousness. They hold the truth, they've got the truth, but they live contrary to the truth. Now, we see another thing, another underlying principle to remember is this. The majority may rule, but that doesn't make it right. You know, good example of this was the 10 spies and the nation of Israel versus Joshua and Caleb. Who was right? Well, Joshua and Caleb were right. The Israel should have gone in, possessed the land, and they didn't. And the reason they didn't go in and possess the land is because 10 out of the 12 spies said, we can't do it. And only 2 of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. Now, the majority ruled, but that didn't make it right. They wound up in judgment before God because of the majority. But Joshua and Caleb, God allowed them to live. They had to wander the wilderness for 40 years while the carcasses of all the disobedient ones, the adults there, 20 age 20 and over, dropped in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb were able to go into the land with their children. And how sad. The majority may rule, but that doesn't make the majority right. Another underlying principle to remember is that there is an absolute moral standard, and that is the holy God. Now, we live in a time of relativism. People don't believe in an absolute moral standard. But the Bible is still true, and 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 15 and 16 talks about that we serve a holy God. And He's still holy, my friend. And we are to be holy because He's holy. And that's what 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 and 16 says. It says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And, you know, God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God's still just as holy today as He was in the Old Testament. And He calls these sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, He calls them abomination. And they're still an abomination to Him even today. The Lord has not lightened up His standards. And I want you to understand also that God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't respect persons. In Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 2, he said, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And he's talking about the things that we're going to see in Romans chapter 1, talking about the immorality and the fornication and the wickedness and the covetousness and the different things we're going to see. He said, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth to them that commit such things. And it goes on later in that passage down in verse number 11, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And there is no respect of persons. And we need to understand that truth. So we see some underlying principles that we need to remember. I want you to understand Sodom's standard. The standard pervading the world today is Sodom's standard. And that is sensual. If it feels good, do it. It's sexual. They were given over to fornication and all forms of perverseness and immorality. It is a standard loosening. And so, you know, God is against Sodom's standard. God's standard, however, is the only right view. God's standard. And what is God's standard? Well, we find in Genesis 2:18 when God made woman for man and joined Adam and Eve together. That's God's standard. God's holy standard. And the way it should be. In 1 Corinthians 7:2, it says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." God joined male and female together in the beginning there in Genesis chapter number 2. And that's the way that God intended for it to continue. And the same way that God intends for it to be today. But men have gotten away from God's standard and made their own standard of anything goes. But can I tell you, God's not pleased with that. In 1 Timothy in chapter number 1, verse number 8, said, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." It says, according to the blessed gospel of the blessed God, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What's God's standard? God's standard is nothing like man's standard. Hebrews 13, verse number 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Listen, God judged the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah in their day. And when God sees the same sins of Sodom and Gomorrah in this world, and even in many so-called churches, listen, God's going to judge the sin. Those churches that have moved away from the Word of God and have adopted the world's standards, God's going to judge. That's apostate, is what that is. That's apostasy. Moving away from God's standard. And friend, we got to make sure we don't move away from God's standard. The bottom line is God judged sin in the past, and God will continue to judge sin, including the sins of immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, Paul tells the Corinthian Christians, and they were living in a very metropolitan society, I guess you could call it. They were living in a society that was full of debauchery. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Very clear. And he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen, when Jesus came into our heart and life and saved us, that old past was cleansed. I'm glad for that. But listen, we would leave that stuff behind. We're not to embrace the immorality of the past. the sins of immorality. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter and chapter number 2. In 2 Peter 2 and verse number 6 through 10 here. Second Peter 2, verse number 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And that's kind of what Judah's saying. You know, God used them for an example. And verse number 7, and delivered just Lot. What made Lot just? Well, believe it or not, he had faith in the Lord, even though he was living in a wicked culture, and if you looked at him and his family, you'd have wondered whether he had faith, but he did. That's the only way that we are justified, is by our faith. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So the Lord judged sin, including immorality, in Sodom and Gomorrah. That wasn't just the only sin. We've seen the several sins that we've mentioned. But God judged sin, the sin of immorality, especially there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He judges sin in our society. Many of the ills that have come upon our nation and this world have come because of immorality. Look at Romans chapter 1. I told you we were going to come here before we closed. And I want you to see what the Lord has to say here by the hand of Paul here, by the mouth of Paul, the pen of Paul, we could say. Let's see what the Lord says here under the inspiration of His Word. In Romans chapter 1, and we've already shared verse number 18 with you. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, they have the word of God that tells them this is wrong, and they continue to do it anyway. And so if we're going to live the way we want, this is the way we were made, this is what we feel, this is how we're going to be. And we see that it's a downward spiral. I want to pick up here in verse number 24. And it talks about, you know, they continued in this anti-God, not following what the Lord would have them to do. And for this cause, it says, we'll look at verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them over unto vile affections. So God gave them up to their uncleanness. God gave them up unto vile affections. Look at, it says, for even their women do change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, he judges sin in our society too. Many of the ills that have come upon our nation and this world have come because of immorality. God has given so many up to uncleanness through their lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. God has given so many up into vile affections there, as mentioned in verse 26. And God has given so many over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Those who say no to the word of God and the ways of God, and instead they say yes to following the lust of their own sinful nature, God will judge. God will judge it and the apostates and those who follow their wicked ways. Again, we see Jude is trying to tell us that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And he's telling us the reason why we need to earnestly contend is because there are folks who are going to try to pull us away from the truth of God's Word. And we're living in a day and time right now when folks are saying, oh, forget about that old-fashioned book. This is what we feel. This is how God made us. They'll blame their immorality on God. And they are intent on trying to make us okay with it. And sadly, many that call themselves Christian, many that call themselves churches have embraced this sinful lifestyle, the sinful lifestyles of these fornicators. And listen, God is not pleased. That's apostasy in the church. When we move away from God's holy word, we may move away from God's holy standard. May God help our nation. May God help us to not fall in this that is so vividly in Scripture wicked against God, an abomination to God. May God help our nation get back to the book, get back to the Bible. And we need to be in the Word, earnestly contending for the faith in the times in which we live.